This is a Triple J podcast.
If you are going to go from just casual chatting to something more sexual, we need to understand that consent is essential for that.
Hello, it is Pip Rasmussen with you. This is The Hookup, and we're here to help you through dating, relationships, sex, and love. So, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but we are living online more than ever before. And the way that we have relationships now has changed so much, even in just the last couple of years. We are intimate via screen. We're having sex in a digital way, and it's also not going anywhere fast. So I think this app is going to be a really great listen if you are wanting to delve into online intimacy and do it well as do it safely for yourself and for whoever you're sending content to or making content with. So right now with me to help navigate all of this is sex educator, author, and bestie of the show, Georgia Grace. Thanks so much for coming by.
I'm so happy to be here in person.
I know. So good. It's so, so nice. Well, look, let's get into this topic because there is so much to unpack with this. You know, when it comes to sending nudes or sexting, interestingly, our audience were actually a little bit like meh. They were like, we could take it or leave it. So does that surprise you at all?
Yes, I think like the neutrality of it surprises me because what I hear from people is that they're often like really into it and it's a big part of either their like foreplay or flirting or texting, and they, you know, really like it or want that either with like a casual sexual partner or a long-term relationship. But then also, you know, a lot of people will be on the other end and they'll be like, absolutely not. Not my thing. I'm not into it. I could never. And so the neutrality of it, of a topic that I have often found to be quite provoking. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's polarizing.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Normally, yeah, you're right. Normally you get people who are like horny for it.
Yes.
And yeah. Then there are people who are like, no, like I'm not in a good place with my body, or like I don't have a partner that wants to do it with me. Mm-hmm. So I totally get you. I think what I took from the neutrality of it as well was maybe people's hesitancy in terms of having like a digital footprint. Mm-hmm. And we live in a society where, you know, like this kind of thing is very important and you really need to consider it before you hit send on something. So I reckon before we get into the practical mm-hmm. tips of that, let's talk it back and like strip it back to that point. Mm-hmm. Because when you become intimate with someone online, we know there are risks involved. And whether it's a stranger or someone that you've even known for a long time, I wanted to ask your advice and thoughts on this. So what are some of the things that you should consider before you hit send on something to someone?
Yeah. So I think first things first, we need to talk about consent within this context. And everyone needs to be aware of the fact that if you are sharing images without someone's consent for you to do so, that is considered a criminal offence in Australia, and it's what we would call image-based abuse. So it is really, really important that we're talking about this and we're teaching this in schools, but not even just schools, like teaching it to adults. And just because someone has sent you an image, it doesn't mean they're consenting for you to share it with a friend whilst you're at brunch, or to share it on or send it on to others. So it's really, really important for us to talk about that. Another thing for us to keep in mind is that not everyone will feel comfortable or safe receiving nudes, and that's why consent is another important thing to talk about. That if you are going to go from just casual chatting to something more sexual, we need to understand that consent is essential for that. And simply checking in, like, hey, I want to share a pic with you, or hey, I want to talk about this thing, or hey, there's something flirty that I want to send you, so that you can get a sense of whether this person is really into it as well. So consent, even though it's may not be with your bodies in a bed doing physical stuff, consent is essential. Talking with this person or people about like what you're expecting or how you're going to continue to do this safely. Like some people like to have a whole separate thread, like a WhatsApp thread that they're not going to open mid-meeting, or, you know, a different way of sharing messages, or they might have like a code word when they want it to move to a more sexual space. And talking with them about it, like, hey, if I'm going to send this thing to you, how are we going to keep each other safe? And what are our intentions? Like, what am I hoping for this? And I think a lot of people, when they are thinking about sending nudes, they're thinking about which is really devastating, but they are thinking about, if I send this on, am I okay with this potentially being sent to others, which is a horrifying thing to think.
Yeah, it's crazy. We actually did get a DM from someone saying pretty much that exact same thing. They said, if this is leaked onto the internet forever, how would I feel about it? Would I be okay with it? You got to hope for the best and plan for the worst, which is grim, to put it bluntly.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah, it is grim.
It is kind of grim, but it's also it's kind of what I was saying to Dee on the episode that is in your feeds if you want to go and check that out as well. You know, we speak to people who work in this industry all the time, who are professional, sex workers, OnlyFans, etc. And they kind of live by that too. They're sort of, and even they're in a professional sense, but when you come trickle it down to a local level of just two people wanting to get off and to express some desire and sexuality, you kind of do need to think about it in a bigger picture, which is intense, but it's okay. We're going to get lots of advice on this episode if you're stressed about it or worried about it, including a good way to protect yourself when you're taking these photos and nudes or sharing any kind of visual content with a partner. What would be your advice there, Georgia, for your best protection before you do it as well?
So I think the first thing I always want to frame it as is that, you know, if someone is a victim of image-based abuse, it was never the fact that they were too aloof or they didn't do enough to protect themselves that is on the abuser. So it's important we frame it in that way. But there are lots of things that some people will do to feel more comfortable and to create a bit of safety for themselves. So of course, it's having that conversation, sharing nudes or sexting with people who they trust or they've had conversations about consent with, and they're really clear and they seem like a safe person to engage with this kind of sex in that way. It might also be removing any sort of identifiers. So some people may say, I'm just not going to put my face in it, or I'm going to make sure my tattoo don't get in any of the pics, or I might use certain props or lighting or, you know, fabrics or whatever, just to cover certain things that might be an identifier for me. Some people will think that whole thing that the listener said, am I comfortable with this potentially going out or being seen by others? And some people may say, yeah, you can't see enough of me in it, so I'm actually setting myself up in this way so I do feel more comfortable. But yeah, a lot of it comes down to the relational things and the conversations. And then also, I guess what people are talking about is what happens if the casual sex or the relationship ends. Then we would also have another conversation there. Like if your ex has nudes on their phone, rightly, a lot of people feel very uncomfortable about that. So they would ask their ex to remove it and to delete the images. And that's a totally acceptable thing to do, because you sent those images to them with the agreement that you were in relationship. And if you're no longer in relationship, then, you know, consent can change at any time.
Yeah, 100%. I love all of that. And something you mentioned before as well about the way that we're doing this via screen, and there's kind of a disconnect in a sense. I think when you have the disconnect because you don't necessarily feel like you're two bodies in a bed, as you said, you can sometimes just get caught up in the heat of the moment. I've done it. I know a lot of people have done it, where you're literally like, I'm horned up. I'm bricked up for this person. I'm about to send something so crazy. And you get into that moment and you do it. And then you might regret it later because you were just dopamine firing everything. What should you do if you are in that position where you've sent something and you go, oops, maybe that was a little too far?
I mean, that idea of something feeling really hot and exciting, and then after an orgasm or after the neurochemicals kind of dissipate, haven't we all had that experience?
Post-nut clarity.
Literally, you said it.
It's so cringe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that what we need to do is we need to understand that that is a really normal thing, and when we're really turned on and it's hot and we may be really losing our inhibitions and leaning into the sexual thing that's going on, that's what can feel so fulfilling and liberating and hot, and that's why so many people like to have sex, because they can kind of transcend the mundane. But then there's also this thing where you might be like, oh, that was so hot in the moment and now I'm like having a bit of a shame job about it. So if that's the case, that, you know, maybe it's important to talk to this person about it, to be like, hey, so I was really into it in the moment and that was really hot. Right now, I just don't feel comfortable with that being out there. Can you please delete it and confirm that you've done that? Or it might even be, hey, I'm feeling a little bit vulnerable. And like, that wasn't necessarily the thing that I usually do. I just wanted to check in. How was that for you? Was that okay? Like, how can we create some reassurance together? And that's, you know, a whole piece around aftercare. Like, aftercare is there because we often get our bodies into these vulnerable, explorative things, and we need to be able to care for each other's bodies after. And you can do that the same with sending nudes, and that might be reassurance, or that might be just checking in. But then it also might be that you realize that maybe you overstepped a mark. Oh, wow, I got caught up in the heat of the moment and I'm actually not sure of that, or I'm not proud of that. I think I need to show care right now. And that's where we might check in as well. Hey, I sent that. I've been thinking about it. Was that okay? How are you feeling? Just as a way to, yeah, care for the people we're having sex with or being sexual with.
Yeah. And I love the word check in. And I think we don't talk about it enough. It is so okay for you to continually do that. And as we know, with consent, you can retract it at any time. And I think sometimes you get caught up in your head and you feel maybe potentially like a little bit of shame about it and feel like you're not allowed to do that, or it's maybe a little like type A behavior, or like, I don't know, like people just get in their heads about it. And I think it's probably a good idea as well to just even just check in with someone that you send content to regularly. Like, I think it's okay for you to be like, hey, by the way, are you still enjoying this? I'm still enjoying it. Just want to check with you. Don't you reckon?
Oh, totally. And I think it is this idea that checking in is going to kill the mood was fed to us in a way that kept us silent and kept us not advocating for our autonomy or not advocating for our needs. And it really does rely on sort of like a fawny, if they don't say no, then they must be okay. Or if they don't explicitly say no, then it's a yes. And so anytime we are checking in with someone, we are kind of saying that's a bullshit idea about sex. I'm not going to wait for someone to have to come to me to tell me why. How can I sort of contribute to this and create safety and make talking about sex feel really normal?
I love all of that. I 100% agree. Okay, so let's talk about dealing with image-based abuse. This is something that is shockingly common for a lot of people. And in statistically, women are the people who are dealing with this the most, or femme identifying. If you have had a nude or a video shared without your consent to others, like anywhere online or even just like, I don't know, in the circle of friends at a party or whatever, what should you do in that scenario?
Yeah, so that there's a lot you can do. There's never really a should, because everyone will figure out what is best for them and what feels most safe for them. So there's no sort of perfect way to be a victim about this. And I think that's really important, because a lot of people will just do what they can to protect themselves, because it's traumatizing. It's horrifying for anyone who has had this happen to them. So I think an important thing, sharing or even someone just threatening to share an image, is considered as image-based abuse. And so if this is the case, you can report it to eSafety and you can report it to the police and get support in that way. It is also important to note that you might want to reach out to someone who feels safe and who can support you, or who can advocate for you, or even just offer care. So whether that's a friend or a loved one. And I really encourage people to find someone who feels safe to do that, because I think an instinct, and what I hear an instinct for many, is to go within and to not say anything. They feel like it's their fault. They're worried that if they tell anyone, someone's going to tell them off. They shouldn't have done that. So trying to find someone who might be safe, and that might also be, you know, calling a free hotline, which maybe we could include in the notes and so on.
Absolutely.
Then another thing to do is to, if this is relevant, like collect the evidence of it and take screenshots or keep that on file so that you have that. And of course, like trying to talk to them, asking them to take it down if that is possible at all, but of course that will be really context dependent. Can you stop contact with this person? Does it feel safe and possible to stop contact with them? And yeah, intend to or try to find support for you in this moment. There is a lot of information online, so it might be worth either going to Teach Us Consent. I know they've got lots of great resources there, but it would also be going to the eSafety website. There's heaps of information there and any of the hotlines that might be able to help.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and we'll put all of this in our show notes as well for you to make it super, super easy. Look, let's get into the practical tips. You kind of did mention a couple before in terms of like protecting yourself. I did really love the one where you were like, have a separate thread so you're not opening some really hot pick in the middle of a meeting at work. I like the one that someone sent us, which was basically like, you do like a little warning where you're like, do a bunch of emojis and be like, open this alone.
Yes.
Don't open this around other people. And that's really fun. And honestly, when you're working in open plan office, you need that.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
Not at the hookup, but yeah. You know, people are like, yeah, we expect that. But yeah, so with the practical tips, let's say you are somebody who is maybe a little rusty. Mm. Like maybe you've just gotten out of a long-term relationship and that kind of side of your sexuality and desire has waned a little bit. Or maybe you've never tried it at all during the relationship. Or maybe you're young and you're brand new and you're getting into relationships now and you're still kind of finding your feet and you've never sent anything. Mm. But you're really keen to try and you want to kind of start it with someone who you like. Mm. What would be your advice on how to start or how to initiate?
Yes, great question. So I think like I'm not going to repeat myself. Obviously, we've covered off all the safety creating stuff. Do that.
Do that.
Check in. Do that stuff. I'm not going to say that again. But I think the first thing I want to do is remind people that like flirting is a co-created experience. So you don't need to be this like perfect sex lord who knows like the exact thing to say, and you don't need to have, you know, all of this pressure about getting it right and being like seamless and so on. That you will create this together and you will go in with something, and then if that person is sort of meeting you, then you know, that's basically like what a conversation is. Also, that's what foreplay is. Like we start small and then building up from there, because so many people I think can go in a little bit too hard too fast, and for someone else that could be quite jarring. So how can you consider the foreplay in this as well?
It's actually funny you mentioned that when you go too hard too fast, because we had a lot of people say that they'll be sexting with somebody and they think it's going to be like the most amazing route of their life, and then they meet in person and the other person who is talking big game, they're literally like, shy. And they're just like, oh man, that was, did I say that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yes. Because here we are. And they get a little embarrassed and they get a bit timid. And, you know, it can kind of create a little bit of a disappointment or like, you know, a feeling of shame in people. So how can you avoid that?
Yeah, I mean, we can't avoid that. Like, that's the thing. And I'm so sorry. I wish I had my magic sex wand, but we can't avoid that, you know? And I think that this is a really important thing to consider, that like some people are really good at the talk. Some people know what to say. They feel really comfortable and really practiced, and they feel way more confident when they've got the distance and they're behind the screen. And for that kind of person, I know like the nervousness or the shame that they may have in being like, oh, I've said all these things. Like, how do I, you know, live up to it? How do I become this like really sexually confident person when I don't feel like it when I'm in person with someone? But then for the other person, who is like disappointed, basically. They feel like they've gone into this sexual experience with this person and these ideas that this person was giving, and then it didn't really end up that way. Like, that's okay for you to be disappointed as well. But again, sex is a co-created experience. And so just because it's been like really hot sexing, firstly, amazing, fuck yeah, so happy you've had that. But it is a different context and it's a different kind of sex, and that is okay if you need to start like co-creating and figuring it out. And that is when our confidence comes back. So for the person who is really good on text and really clunky in real life, like how can the two or more of you create safety so that confidence can emerge or the creativity can emerge again?
Yeah, I think the safety is such an important part of it. And I think that leads to great self-esteem, to body confidence. And this is something that like a lot of people message us and they said, okay, I'm really like struggling with the body confidence part, because taking nudes. It's extremely vulnerable. You know, it's like you are putting yourself fully in there on their screen. I have found, though, that talking to people who maybe typically are like, I'm not that confident about what I look like, they end up finding themselves feeling really empowered and surprised by actually just giving it a go. So what would be your advice for someone who might be struggling with that and wants to try?
Such a good point. And I think that is the really interesting thing about sending nudes or taking photos, because you can choose what you show. And that's what I'll hear a lot. Like, people will either use a mirror to take a photo, and then they can be really sort of targeted about the part of the body or the area that they want to show. Or, as I said at the start, like, they may be more suggestive and still be wearing clothes and, you know, reveal something, or they may be under the covers and you can just see their body. Or, of course, you know, they may use lighting and getting like really creative with it. Then they can also start to see their body in a new way, and they can start to appreciate how sexy or hot it is through, like, the art of taking a nude. And I think that that is often a really great approach. Like, can you see this as an art form in itself? Which for many people it is. And I think that's the big turn on.
Oh, like, hell yeah.
You create a context and, you know, it feels really sexy, and they, you know, might bring movement to their body, or they might like make it feel like a sensual environment for them, and then they get turned on by that. Mm. And, you know, there are really basic and lazy ways to take a photo, and it's just like pointing the, you know, camera at your crotch. And sure, there are a lot of people out there who would still love to receive that. And that is great too. But it's just like one way to do it.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting that you got that feedback as well, that a lot of people can actually use this as a way to learn about their body or feel more confident and more in control around what they show.
Yeah, I also think there's something to be said about not only controlling what you show, but also who to. Because I'm like, if you're taking a nude to feel yourself and be turned on and explore that side of yourself, you don't even need to send it to anyone. If it's art to you, it's literally like, hell yeah, like, look at me in that position, like, that's so hot. Like, I think that's kind of fun in itself as well, to explore in that safe space and be like, it doesn't matter if I don't send it to anyone. You just put it in your hidden folder, babe, and you wait for a rainy day.
Totally. You just save that up.
Yeah. Yes. There'll be a time when you go, hell yeah, that someone's going to get that at one point. It might not be today, might not be next year, but whenever. We also had a few people actually message and say that they send some of their nudes to their friends, which I think is so cool. And it's really, really nice. And shout out to this person. I don't remember your handle, but I'm not going to shout the handle out. But they actually sent me one that wasn't a nude. It wasn't like rude or lewd or anything. It was them in a pair of heels, like Louis Vuittons, with like a really like nice pose from the back, like the fishnet stocking. I didn't see anything rude, but I was like, okay, yeah, you were feeling yourself. Mm. And they told me, they were like, I'd send my nudes to my friends and we G each other up, which I think is so cool.
Totally. And I was actually just about to say that yeah, nudes can be for friends. And I think that there's a lot in that we are allowing ourselves to be sexual and to be seen as being sexual, not just by a sexual partner. We can learn from our friends about certain angles or things that they're doing for their images.
Oh my God, yes.
And things that they're sending. So it's like this sort of creative inspiration. And also, as this person said, like, your friends G you up. They remind you you're hot and sexy. They talk about you in a positive way, and like that is very healing. And you know, this normalizing around, you know, talking about sex with people that you trust as well.
No, 100% agree. I love this so much. And you have mentioned actually a couple of things just before about some technique about taking a good pic. But let's get some solid practical tips for people who are wanting to do it and they're feeling a little bit lost. And keep in mind, by the way, a lot of guys were like, I don't know how to take a good nude. And I think they could learn a lot from the gay guy community, but a lot of hetero guys were like, what am I doing with this schlong? Like, I don't know.
Yes.
So let's talk about some, yeah, practical tips on how to take a nice nude.
Okay. So I may be touching on things that I've already said. Context is really important. Like, is it a scene or a setting, you know, that might be outdoors, you know, of course, making sure you're not exposing anyone else to your nude images, but it, you know, it might be in the bed. It might be using a mirror. It might be in your living room or an environment that is hot. Like, because context is really important, not just that it will make the pick look good, but also it'll make you feel good. How can you also get yourself into a more sensual or sexual state? So that might be taking time to arouse your body through self-touch or even just thinking about this person or what they're going to do with it. Get your props and your accessories and things out to make it dynamic, also to use it so that you feel like confident and sexy as well. Also, less is more at the start. So start with less and you can always build up. You can get to the crescendo. So of course, like using things like underwear. And for anyone who has a penis and they're like, oh, I've never done this before, take a photo of your bulge in your underwear. The bulge is what turns a lot of people on. It's the whole idea of the unknown and the surprise and the novelty around it.
Yeah. We had actually someone who said, lewds are better than nudes, change my mind. And I was like, there's something to be said about that. Like just covering up a little bit and not giving everything away.
So true. And then there's also the things around anger. So like a lot of people will like arch their back or sort of maybe contort their torso into a way that they can either hide their genitals or reveal something. It might also be like playing with camera angles. So can you set your camera up somewhere so that you can get your body into a different shape or position? It might also be, you know, choosing an angle that you like your body at. So a lot of people might be like, oh, my tits look really great when I'm taking a photo from above, but my ass looks really good when I'm going from behind. But then also it might be moving images. And actually, this is a really good thing to remember. If it's a live photo, you might want to make sure that it's not live.
True. Because then you're getting into position.
Totally. But some people will use movement or dance, or they'll shake their tits or their ass or move their stomach in a way that will make it feel like more sexy for them or also make it more dynamic.
I love all of that. I think like the props is really good. Also, it's kind of good to know if you ever feel like not great about your body or like you're like, how are other people taking these? Like some of the best photos I have taken, I near broke my back doing it because it's unnatural and it's art and you're trying to like accentuate parts of yourself. So like maybe have a good stretch before. Also, like, you know, those little sticky things on the back of your phone case and you can slam it up against a mirror and then you can really actually see yourself and be like, oh, okay, cool. This is what this, I like this. I look good here. I feel good about this. Da, da, da. Moving images and video is something that I think people get even more like some type of way about it. They feel a little exposed, I guess. And it's interesting because it's obviously a big part of sending content to people, but also making content with a partner. Now, we actually asked people and we said, how do you feel about filming videos with your partners? And it was overwhelmingly people were like, not into it. 39% of you said like, no. Maybe we can talk a little bit about this because there are obviously people who really enjoy it. Like Ryan here saying, I would love to get my partner into it, but I have no idea how to initiate. What kind of conversation could you have with them?
Pretty much what you just said. Like I would love to try this with you. And I know how vulnerable that can feel. And I think vulnerability often gets in the way of people being open because it can feel so risky or unknown, or we don't want to make our partner feel uncomfortable, or we don't want to feel exposed. But if you're curious about it and it feels exciting or it will turn you on, hopefully we can start to create sexual relationships where you both can bring things that you're curious about and that can be a discussion. And when I say a discussion, I'm not saying like a negotiation to make it happen. It means that if someone's saying, hey, I'm into this, that their partner can be like, that's so hot. I love that for you. I love that that turns you on. That feels like not my thing at all and I wouldn't be into it, but how could we explore it in a way that would feel hot for you? Or is there something that you could do that would still allow you to explore it if it doesn't involve me? But we also need to normalize hearing a no. So if we are saying that, you know, I'm nervous about bringing it up to my partner because I'm nervous they're going to say no, that maybe is a really important thing for us to like examine in ourselves. Like, why does it feel so uncomfortable hearing a no, and how can you start to practice getting more comfortable with that? Because as sexual partners, we all need to learn how to hear a no. But then, yeah, if they're like, oh my God, I want to do that too. I was just too nervous. I'm so glad that you brought it up so that now I can be this sexy freak with you. What does it look like? Is it that you are taking photos for each other and you're asking them to like pose in the way that you find it really hot so you can keep it in the private wank bank for when they're away? Or is it that you're doing it together and what does that look like? So that might even just be like a sexual or sensual kiss, and that could be like the perfect place to start off with, and you're fully clothed or you've got all your props around and like you can do that so you can see what it's like. I think that often what a lot of people assume is that if I say yes to filming stuff with my partner, I'm filming a full-on porno. And like, yeah, that might be where some people start, but there are so many other things to do before that.
And you know what? I think you'll love to hear this. And this is like shout out to Hookup Fam. Our listeners are incredible. We actually had a few people come through on this and they said it turned into a really helpful tool for them to actually communicate about their sex and their style and like their pleasure. And it was so crazy. I was like, wow, that is amazing. And they said they didn't start it out to be like that. Mm. But then they would watch it back with each other, which is also, we could spend ages talking about that, but we won't. But, you know, it can be kind of confronting to watch that back with someone. But in some scenarios, it was really great for people, which is so cool.
Yeah, totally. I think that's that whole kind of cringe thing that we can have after, like, oh my God, like, is that what my face does when I'm orgasming? Or is that what my body does? Or like, but also how beautiful for a lot of people where they can be like, wow, I look so present there. I was speaking to someone the other day who they filmed a sex scene, and they said that when they watched it back, they were really worried that they wouldn't like the way that they looked. But because they were so present in the scene, they looked back and they could see their body, or they could see like their pleasure in a whole new way. And they're like, wow, I was so present and embodied and feeling myself, and that's hot, and I love that I could experience that.
That
as
is
well.
So cool. Mm. I mean, I guess like that's the thing. If you forget the cameras in the room, that's probably what you optimally want to achieve. Just quickly again, if you want to ask your partner if for whatever reason you guys break up, like obviously you're allowed to be like, hey, can we go through our phones together and delete from the deleted folder, like stuff like that, right?
Totally, totally. And if someone asks you for that, you say, yes, absolutely. Thank you for asking. If you don't want them to exist anymore, I don't want them to exist anymore. We are deleting them together.
Yeah. Okay. This has been such a great chat. I love having you here. And this is just, yeah, so, so great for anyone who wants to get involved and try this out and do it well and do it safely. So Georgia, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. And it's so great to be here. And I think that, you know, often it is really important to have those conversations about safety up front. I know that sometimes that can feel confronting or nerve-wracking for a lot of people. But once we've got that safety, that's when all of like the sexy, fun stuff can happen. So I'm glad we could do all of it today.
Yay. No worries. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you.